Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Hi folks, it's Tino here, host of the Celtic Exchange, and before we get started with this week's show, I want to bring you some quick news on some changes to our Celtic Exchange Plus service. The Celtic Exchange Plus brings our listeners closer than ever before to Celtic with their range of insightful, informative and entertaining shows, keeping you up to date with all the action on and off the park at the greatest club in world football. The support we receive from our subscribers enables us to continue delivering the shows that you want to hear throughout your week in Celtic, including our detailed match previews, our immediate match reactions on the final whistle, and some very special bonus episodes throughout the season. As a new subscriber, you'll get access to all of these shows, and as a bonus, we'll also receive exclusive advanced access to this weekly show on a Monday, before it's then released to the general public on a Tuesday morning. You'll get all of this for just $3.75 a month if you decide to pay annually, or for $4.99 if you want to go for the monthly option, and you can do so right now at theCelticExchange.supercast.com. And in even better news, you can now enjoy the Celtic Exchange Plus completely free for 7 days with our complimentary 7-day pass. So to get started, visit theCelticExchange.supercast.com now and take your Celtic experience to the next level this season.
The Celtic Exchange, a fresh insight on Celtic Football Club.
Welcome to the episode 80 of the Celtic Exchange Weekly. This is Paddy standing in for Tino this week, and today I'm joined by Miff and Sinky following a weekend where Celtic's 38 game unbeaten streak in the league came to a surprising end at the hands of St Mirren. Miff, it's been a while since we came short in the league, but here we are. What's your initial take on the result in Paisley?
Hello Paddy, hello Sinky, hello listeners. It's a stinger, it's an absolute stinger. It stung at the time. Probably don't really feel that much better about it now, if I'm being honest, but doing things like this helps you get it out of your system. Just one of those games where nothing clicked. Variety of reasons for it. I think it was just a perfect storm of well-organised opposition, motivated opposition, and changes disrupting the flow of the team. Coming up to international break, all those different types of things fitting in. Could even argue second goals both offside and a push as well, but I think most Celtic fans were actually that scun up with the performance that they didn't really think to push too hard on that. But yeah, a stinger, but you know, we're going to go into a bit more depth about how long we've went unbeaten and things like that. You just need to take these ones in the chin and move on. Simple as that.
Nice one, man. No, I agree with you on that. Sinky, welcome back to the show, mate.
Good to be back, Patrick.
Good stuff, my man. Basically, we question on you on that one is how surprised were you that they never made it 7 league wins out of 7 yesterday?
Very surprised, but as credit goes to go to St Mirren, obviously with nearly a year unbeaten in the league, but they were well organised. They seemed to have the desire, they were blocking everything, they were all over it, even time wasting as well quite early on once they got their tails up. So tough one to take, but as I said, credit to St Mirren. Social media's people are slating Ange about making the changes. I mean, we made 9 against Ross County, we got through that. I don't know if that's kind of set us up to for Ange to think he can do it all the time, but you're right, I mean, it disrupts the flow of the team, having made six changes yesterday, yeah. And some of the personnel that we selected, I mean, the midfield, we'll go into more depth in a minute, but the midfield, for me, there was no creativity, maybe apart from Calmac, but the other two weren't really doing much at all. So personnel-wise, I mean, these guys are committed to the first team as well. They've got a chance to kind of prove their worth, mm-hmm. and push for a first team place, even though as a squad rotation. But a lot of them didn't take their chance yesterday. Didn't turn up.
No, I definitely agree with you on that, and kind of, like, you know, taking no disrespect to St Mirren at all. I think, you know, the starting 11 that went out yesterday should still be enough.
Of course,
should still be enough. And I think what St Mirren done yesterday was take the opportunity. They probably know that the fluidity was definitely going to be away, and they capitalised on it. They were in our faces from the get-go, yep. So credit to them, and definitely gave us some stuff to think about. So, yeah, as you said there, Sinke, it was six changes to the team that took on Shakhtar Donetsk on Wednesday. Some of the changes enforced, obviously, due to injury to the likes of Carter Vickers and Starfelt. Other changes were Ange's choice, mm-hmm. in terms of how best to rotate the squad. A rare league start for Aaron Moy, Tony Ralston, Stephen Welsh, and to a lesser extent, David Turnbull. But crucially for me, we did start without Hatate, O'Reilly and Jota. And even when they came on, I think that just the way the game had went, trying to get up to the speed that they were required to, just wasn't really happening when the rest of the team weren't clicking as well. People are questioning, is this a fault of Ange? Has he made too many changes? As I've just kind of said there, I don't generally think that that's the case. I think that, you know, we should be able to bring these players in, and everyone should be able to kind of pick up on what we train day in, day out. What's your views on it, Miff, with that?
I'll pick up, excuse me, on something that Sinke said there, and I think the lack of, the lack of energy in the midfield was the biggest problem. Aaron Moy's about as dynamic as an Urquhart tour. I just don't really see him, how he fits with the way the squad's been moulded. I suggested in the post-match, I have believed for some time he is not an upgrade in James McCarthy.
Yeah.
And that's not just because of what's happened. I think if you look back or listen back to previous podcasts, I've probably been in the unconvinced category on that signing, like I was for McCarthy as well. Mm. I've been pretty vocal on that too. And this isn't an exercise, and I told you so. It's just, you watch the game, you see where we have been poor in the game. The centre halves have not stood up to the test, mm-hmm. that was thrust upon them. However, they were the only two centre halves that we could have picked yesterday, so you just need to kind of dust yourself down and deal with that. The central midfield is different. Turnbull, I think, actually has been pushing for a start because of how he's been performing when he's been coming on. He's looked handy, and in previous chances that he's been given, he's actually played really well. I think you can file yesterday under very disappointing for him. Really rigid, sideways passing, not very much going forward. I'm going to say something here, and this is a major excuse, but the kick clash did not help,
yep.
in terms of forward passing. I think you could see the hesitancy there, that everybody was just checking, oh, and I don't know how many times I thought a pass was on,
yep.
and the ball went to a St Mirren player, or I seen a St Mirren player moving, even when we were defending, I thought, your man's getting back, and yep. no, it was a St Mirren player that went on the ball, yep. Like, oh, no. So, I think the kick clash possibly contributed to our lack of fluency,
yeah.
in passing, mm-hmm. because, like you say, it didn't really improve when the likes of Hatate, O'Reilly and yep. Jota did come on. So, listen, bad day at the office. Like I said, perfect storm. Loads of factors combined, mm-hmm. but I'm not letting Moy off the hook. Just because, look, Turnbull either, by the way. Turnbull, aye, I'm aye. A huge fan of Turnbull. Huge fan of Turnbull, but I think you can't play the two of them together.
No.
And it still leaves me questioning. I think, as far as Moy's concerned, is his place in the squad to replace McCarthy? If it is, I don't think he's that much better.
Yeah.
So I'm really, really keen to see Abelgaard come in, because mm-hmm. I think we just need somebody that can, yes, do the defensive work, but also do it in a more dynamic manner.
Yeah, well, I think this is the big couple of weeks for Abelgaard. You know, he's going to have time on the training field with the players a lot more than what we've had recently. And I think Ange isn't going to let anything go after yesterday. A big time for him to really just stake a claim.
Yeah.
Sinke, on the likes of, I kind of agree with Miff on Aaron Moy. Yeah. I think I don't see the point in the signing because they're very similar.
No, do you know what? Moy's the kind of guy you want come on maybe 75 minutes to kill a game.
Yeah.
Ball retention, kill a game, sideways passing, keep it short and simple. Mm-hmm. He's not a starter. In a million years, he's not a starter. And playing him alongside that midfield three is never going to work. Never going to work. But yeah, I mean, it was a strange one. He's not a bad player. And obviously, he's went to China for the money. He's come back. But it just doesn't fit in with the dynamics of the team.
The tempo.
You're right. It doesn't seem to just... There's not the right fit for the way we want to play.
He's a very good player. And right. I've seen him, most notably his time at Huddersfield, where he was the absolute hub of the team that got promoted for the Championship. Really, really, really good player. Playing slightly further forward in that team than what he is now. It wasn't a lack of effort yesterday. You could see he was trying to go on the front foot. He was trying to push forward. It's just he can't do it as quickly as the other guys in the team. And because we've been spoiled by McGregor playing in that position, McGregor is not only dynamic going forward, he's dynamic defending as well. He's busy and about trying to break up attacks. And you just saw how laboured Moy was in trying to get back into the box for St Mirren's first goal. So, obviously a defeat stings, and like always happens in a defeat, it's who can we blame. I'm not just singularly blaming Aaron Moy. I thought what was highlighted yesterday was just how out of sync he appears with the style that Ange wants to play. That was my most notable thing. But in Ange's words himself, he said nothing worked. I think the keeper's not a great game either. Joe Hart's been very hesitant and lacked the dominance of his 6 yard and 18 yard box that you would normally associate him with. He's normally quite proactive when it comes to those things. Our two fullbacks just couldn't get into those wee cute positions where they can play between the lines and get the ball out wide quickly. That we really suffered for that as well. And you know, Juranovic not playing, for example, I know we all love Tony Ralston and the effort that he's put in. Juranovic is an upgrade in Ralston, I think that's just fair to say. He moves the ball quicker, he is quicker himself. Listen, loads and loads and loads of factors involved. I mean, Kyogo was on the park, I think he touched the ball about 10 times. Mishakiamakis probably more suited to a game like that, I would argue as well. But the pattern this season has been get a goal early, settle into a rhythm, and away we go. St Mirren just made sure that wasn't going to happen. Yeah. Ball boys, ball girls, no getting the ball back very quickly. St Mirren players holding on to the ball when the ball went out of play, just to slow the game down, disrupt the rhythm. It's going to be a template for every team that play against us. So we just need to be better than that.
Listen, absolutely. We've seen it against Rangers when we went 1-0 up. They were slow in the game now because we do act fast. We do play fast. And one of the things that's a big worry for me, and you're obviously talking about Joe Hart yesterday. I'm not worried about Hart and his performances or anything there. I do wonder if he's just not trusting his two in front of him. He's not that sure about what he's got. It's not Starfelt. It's not Carter Vickers. But a big worry for me, and I don't know how you feel about this one, Sinky, is... You look at David Turnbull, and you know, we've said in this show, him and O'Reilly doesn't work together, and now we're saying that him and Moy doesn't work together, and he's quite similar in style to what Hatate does, albeit Hatate I think is a bit more advanced than him. My worry is there, like, what do we expect from him here now? Because like, I'm not singling him out at all. I think it was a collective poor performance yesterday, but these opportunities are coming and coming, and when you're starting games, you need to be stamping your place in the team. And I didn't see that for anyone, especially Turnbull yesterday.
No, they were quite... Turnbull is a good player, right? He's like, with that terrible season, he was the star of the show, everyone play of the year. But it was very passive. I mean, these guys, as I said at the start of the show, they've come in and they've no stake to claim for, and they should be bursting a gut to get into that first team. But what one thing I'm always thinking about as well, Ange is always making the three subs at the same time, usually around the 60 minute mark. So are these guys knowing they're going to get game time anyway, right, regardless, because obviously we can make five subs, and is that in the back of their mind? There's a couple of, I'll bring this up just now. If you're pushing for a first team place, right, and you're in a squad, and you're trying to push to get in the team, and you get a start, but you know you're getting hooked after 60 minutes every game. Do you think that would sit in the back of your mind as a player? Do you want to play on that park as much as you can? But I don't know if Ange has got them tuned into the fact that you're going to go 60 minutes, and I'm going to make three changes at the one time. I don't know. I mean, if I'm a football player, right, and if I'm on the bench, I know I'm going to get half an hour. In that half an hour, I can go and improve myself. For these guys, are getting half an hour. They got a start yesterday, and they never made the most of it, yeah. Which is really frustrating.
I don't know if that affects their mentality. I take your. I know exactly the point you're making right now. Just well, I'm either going to get 60 or half an hour. I'll just kind of meander through and do what I do. I think for Moy, it's still early. Mm-hmm. Despite everything I've said, he's come in, he's not had a lot of games, and he looks like the type of guy that's probably going to need games. Is he going to get that though? Is he going to get the run of games? I don't think he is.
I don't think so.
So is that natural progression or improvement going to come? But remains to be seen. Aye. Turnbull, like I say, quite surprising that he was so poor yesterday, given that I thought he was on the cusp of coming back into the team. And someone, when you see his name in the team sheet, you don't think, oh no, Turnbull's playing. It just didn't work. For whatever reason, it didn't work. And again, I take your point that you're looking two different combos, him and O'Reilly, him and Moy. I think the answer to that is just, if you've got legs in the team, if Hatate and McGregor are in the team, then you can have a Moy, a Turnbull, mm-hmm. or an O'Reilly. But I don't think Turnbull's a starter. No. It's simple as that. I just don't think he's a starter. However, I think he's a very, very handy squad player to have. Whether he sees himself as that will be a different matter. Come January, that might be a different matter.
So that's a big factor I've got on it as well. I don't think he will.
Now, I know in the post-match yesterday, we concentrated on mainly the centre-halves and the centre midfield. But online, the vitriol seems to have been directed at Dyson Maeda more than anyone else, for what I've seen. Which, again, I find relatively surprising because I think Maeda and Abada fall into similar categories for me, is that they're really effective players. They pop up now and then, well, more than now and then, but they pop up regularly with a goal or an assist. Yesterday was just one of those games where, because we weren't getting the ball from defence through midfield out to them, they were limited in the amount of chances that they had or the impact that they could have in the game. I think they were pretty much starved, the front three. They didn't get the ball in the positions that they would prefer to get the positions in. A lot of the time they were kind of hunting the ball down or kind of trying to chase lost causes in the final third. So I wouldn't be too harsh on anybody that started up front yesterday. You can argue lack of movement, but Kyogo tried so hard to get in behind and move around a few times. He's pulled some cracking balls out the air, but there's nobody up there to support him and things like that. It was just an odd game yesterday. It just wasn't like us at all. And you just need to file and say, put it away, forget about it, and move on.
There's a lot of learnings for the game yesterday, and I think obviously it's a defeat and it's a hard one to take, but I think Ange will get to know more about his players in situations like that. But you're right about Maeda and Abada. Games like that, tight parts, mm-hmm. like Ross County, St Mirren's, it's hard for these wingers because they obviously St Mirren set their stall out and how defensive they're going to be, but these guys were getting starved, as Miff said. They're only barely getting, like, obviously at Parkhead, it's a different story, but type of games like that, it's hard for these guys. But Kyogo, I don't, yeah, but Miff said it as well, I don't think he was suited to that game yesterday. Big Gigi's are probably more suitable to that style of play. We're going to be playing balls in the box and stuff like that, but it came to the point where we were chasing, and I think it was just too little too late the way the St Mirren set up. We were struggling.
So definitely, I think whether it be Kyogo or whether it be Giakoumakis yesterday, I think St Mirren limited us to basically having to try and play the ball in over the top instead of on the deck. We weren't really confident in trying to play through our lines at all. So therefore, you're ruling Kyogo out of the game unless you can run on it a lot. But there wasn't enough from the midfield yesterday. And even I bring the inverted fullbacks into that, and Taylor and Rowson. There just wasn't enough bringing forward because we were pinned in so much. And it's something that, you know, we need probably two energetic midfielders that are going to kind of try and prevent that from happening, to take the pressure off us, because McGregor can't do it all. We've spoke about that before, but what we didn't have was, you know, Moy and Turnbull aren't going to do that running for you. I think that's fairly evident.
I think where it did slightly improve in the second half was when Hatate came on, and there was more of that, even at least attempting to carry the ball in the final third, carry the ball forward, draw players out, and we created more. We didn't necessarily call them straight opportunities, but created more sort of openings around their box where if we'd selected the right pass or whatever, we could have had certainly more opportunities than we actually ended up with, because I think there was a couple of balls flashed across the face of the goal. Jacky Maxey's header, Jota's header as well.
Yeah. Other days, their goals, absolutely.
The second half, we did two chances, as you say. Jacky Maxey should probably scored.
He should have.
And shot as well.
Textbook, he headed the ball down, but he's took the bloody pace at the ball, hadn't he? And then the other one, probably Greg Taylor, a shot for 25 yards straight at the keeper as well.
He just couldn't get the angle.
It was a good strike, but it just wasn't one of the days, wasn't it?
Kind of what you're talking about there as well, Miff. Just talking about, obviously, you know, we started to kind of control the ball a little bit more in their final third. They got that early second goal, and it allowed them just to kind of sit and soak everything up. I put this one to you. Is it just one of those days yesterday, or has Ange got it wrong? Me personally, I just think it's one of those days. You know, I don't think he's got it wrong. I think the rotation has to happen, and the 11 should be capable enough. No offence to St Mirren, the 11 should be capable enough to come in and win.
On that point, I was left a gift for those who are listening. I was left a gift. What would we say that is?
It's a panda rattle, a teether for a
BBM producer, Anne. Who's a buddy, kindly left that on my microphone for me, so thank you for that, Anne.
Miff is rattled.
I was rattled in more ways than one. I'm just going to put it down to a bad day at the office. I don't absolve the manager completely from the responsibility and what went wrong. I think he has to put his hand up. I think he has done that in post-match and said loads of things were wrong, including team selection.
Yeah.
And like I said yesterday in the post-match, the conclusion that I come from, and it's simply that based on the squad we have and the players that we have, our midfield has to have Cal McGregor at its base with another two. That is as simple as that. Until we see Abel Gab and what he's bringing, it can't be Moy,
based
on what I've seen so far. Ending games, yes, completely agree with you.
Mm-hmm.
Sinke, completely agree with you, I think. You know, and you saw that against Shakhtar, you know, high level opposition to come on. He's exactly the type of guy you want on there. When you've got a team hemmed in, he can sit at the base, you know, play the ball around. Tight part like that, when you're maybe needing to be a bit more dynamic and you're needing him to create something, I don't think he's a man.
It wasn't happening. There wasn't enough zip from him. And, you know, we might sound as if we're coming in too heavy on him in Turnbull as well. We're saying it because we see it.
Yeah, and I need to say we've got a fairly decent Aussie following, lads. We're not anti-Aussie on here. Please trust me.
We're for the World Cup.
We are not anti-Aussie. We want them to do well. Just to
absolutely
hammer that point home.
Well, we want every player to do well. I just think agreed for the structure that we kind of set up with. It just wasn't happening for them yesterday. But again, I definitely do think he needs games. I definitely think there is a creative player there, but you know it's going to be hard to get in and get into that starting lineup.
I don't think he's going to get the games.
No,
as I said, he's not going to get them. But he'll go to the World Cup with Australia. It's just a James McCarthy map too, I think.
Maybe if he starts the games at World Cup and Australia going a bit of a run, that helps us in that long term. You know, he is getting a bit more game time, and I hope that is the case. I really do, because you know I want every player to succeed at Celtic. I don't want people to fail. But yeah, on that one as well. Just talking about, obviously, we'll finish up on the St Mirren thing.
Good.
Put it to bed, thank God. But one of the wee things I was kind of talking to the guys about yesterday was we look at the amount of changes they made yesterday, and a lot of people are calling out, why did we need to do that when we get into an international week? And one of the points I made to the guys was, a few of our players are going to be playing, you know, so they're going to continuously be playing probably, what, two games over the next couple of weeks with their countries. And then we're getting into a really, really packed October.
Yeah.
So I think actually it's possibly just been slightly clever, albeit we get beat, possibly been slightly clever to rest some of the players that, you know, just maybe need that before getting into a busy, hectic October. The other side of that is it's still only September.
Not everybody's going to put, a lot of the squad's going to feature, but not everybody is. I get why the changes were made. I do understand it. It's just, it's backfired on us.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that. You know, whether the changes were the right ones or not, or whether the changes were indeed needed or not, you know, everybody's going to have their opinion on that, and rightly so. It's just we've made changes and it's backfired. I think you referenced the Ross County game. We made changes there, it didn't. And that's, you know, that's life. I think part of it also comes from who we played yesterday and how they set up and their game plan working. That's the difference. If you get an early goal in that game yesterday, it throws their game plan into there. We didn't get it. They settled into a rhythm and they got the goals.
Yeah, all the international managers must be rubbing their hands when they seen that starting 11 yesterday. But I'm thinking of it as well, because obviously Andrew's managing Australia, so he's probably like, I'm going to do these guys a wee turn, but it has backfired. And I'm not going to blame Ange, because he trusts his players, and you're right, Paddy, what you've said. Starting 11 should be good enough to step up and beat St Mirren all day, every day.
Is that it? We'll just put it to bed.
Let's get it to bed.
Game done.
Done. In the bin.
2 weeks' time, forget about it. In the bin. Gone. Put the rattle in the bin. No, I'm kidding.
No,
that's fine. Kidding on. So obviously this week as well, guys, we took on Shakhtar Donetsk in match day 2 of this season's Champions League group stages. It was a very, very promising start for us. Again, we just kind of done that Celtic thing in Europe where we just get a wee bit flustered and conceded, and it looked a wee bit, you know, well, it was a wee bit worrying just coming near the end of the first half. But still a very strong performance from us. How are we feeling after that one?
Well, we're excellent. You're right. Once they scored the goal, we needed a half-time whistle to come, because we lost our shape, lost a bit ahead. But I thought we played really well. I mean, second half we got obviously half time. We got ourselves together, came back out, and we dominated the game, and we were like Madrid. Very way so in front of goal. We make opportunities of. Oh, I wish we kept some of the goals for the United game and kept them for Europe.
Aye.
But it will come. It will come. Do you know what I mean? We're all sitting here now going, we got one each away to Shakhtar.
Well,
do you know what I mean? But imagine that a few years ago. That'd have been a great. But you look at the game overall, you're disappointed not to get the 3 points.
Yeah. What about yourself, Miff? What was your view on the game last week?
Very frustrating. A great performance, but very frustrating. Opportunity missed, as far as I'm concerned. The result itself is fine, but it's no more than that. Aye. I think the game was there for the taking. Shakhtar looked pretty average. The fact that they've went 1-4-1 in Leipzig is an absolute miracle to me. Albeit that I did see two of the goals and they were gifts. absolute gifts. So, yeah, an odd feeling, like you say. These games were normally watched from behind the couch or through the fingers in a very nervy manner. Instead, you saw a controlled professional performance. Horrendous goal to lose. McGregor doesn't need to dive in. Juranovic then outstripped by a guy that knows is fast. You know, that really knocked us. However, a great goal we've scored. And in the last 20 minutes, I think we had 5 clear-cut chances. Any other day, you're taking at least 2 of them. So, not only should it have been a victory, it should have been a resounding victory. Shakhtar were dead in their feet at the end of the game. We'd given them a real chasing, but we've only come away with a point. So, yeah, real opportunity missed. But you have to be very, very proud of the players. They looked like they belonged at that level. They looked every inch a Champions League team.
So I totally agree, and I think we've obviously seen that in the first game. We spoke about Madrid last week, and just how, you know, we just came out of the traps very quickly against them and, you know, gave them something to think about. I thought we'd done exactly the same against Shakhtar, and we were actually just too much from them. And it's possibly been just on that basis that, you know, we've just possibly just fell asleep at the back, because we've been pressing so hard and pressing so high up at their end. And then, yeah, it's just a bit of a sucker punch losing that goal. But to come out in the second half and play the way we did... was so, so promising. But my God, just the chances missed, you know, just, and like, you know, we talk about the goals we've scored in the league so far already, the amount we've scored so far. It was just, you know, you hope it just doesn't sit in their minds. Because you're looking at this, it's a fresh batch of players, you know, they've not all had the experiences that we've all had as fans with Celtic in Europe. And you kind of want them just to have that confidence and belief in themselves that they will be able to take their chances, you know. I think for me, it makes finishing second a bit harder now. I just think that Leipzig, you know, that they seem to have kind of sorted themselves out, dusted themselves down. I watched their game against Madrid, and they could have won it. They actually, you know, they threatened, kind of similar to yourselves. Madrid just showed their class coming in, you know. But
that's what they do.
They do.
They just win.
They're clever. They're just a clever, clever team. But the worrying thing for me is that, you know, Leipzig aren't going to be there for the taking as much as we expected. You know, they're a very, very good side, and They might start to find their feet by the time we play them in a fortnight's time. Mm-hmm. What's your view on that, Miff?
I've seen a bit of the Leipzig Madrid game. Werner looked really lively. They'll be a handful. Certainly, can't see he's going over there and wiping the floor with them the way that Shakhtar did. So immediately that kind of puts you in the back foot and means that result in Warsaw is even more disappointing given the dominance that we had. We really should have been coming away with all three and been in a much better position. But listen, I think what's been shown is we appear suited by the pace at which the Champions League games are played. In stark contrast to events at Paisley. but yeah, I think I said it before when a few weeks back. I think we just need to buckle up and go along with it. You know, it's got, there's going to be highs and lows. Mad that we feel low after a draw away in Europe, but you would have taken the result before the game, but after seeing the performance and the chances, the clear-cut chances we created, it's very disappointing that we've not taken more than just the one. But listen, you know, we're still in there pitching. The important thing was that Shakhtar didn't get any further ahead than us, mm-hmm. and they haven't. We've still got them to play back at Celtic Park, so, yep, all to play for.
What about yourself, Sinky? What's your view on last week's game? Is there anything you would kind of make you think that for the rest of this group, you know, is there anything that you think we've got a really good chance of finishing second, or do you think that it's going to be a fight for third? What's your...
It's a fight for second. I think it's a straight mm-hmm. shoot between us and Leipzig. Mm-hmm. Got to take heart for the level of performance. I mean, the Madrid first half was one of the best I've seen Celtic play in my lifetime. And I know that's a bit of a statement, but I thought we were excellent. Yeah. Right? We gave them something to think about. The Shakhtar game, as you said, very wasteful. Five clear-cut chances in the second half. But it will come. And go to Leipzig in 2 weeks' time. A point would be an absolute dream.
Yeah.
A point, honestly, I take a point right now. But if we get these guys back to Parkhead, I mean, I'm quite confident we'll be in Europe after Christmas, regardless. Right? Third place, looking at Shakhtar. Madrid will probably will beat them twice, and Leipzig will probably beat them in the return. I can see that. I don't know how they've seen the two goals as well. My God, right?
Just passed it.
It was just crazy. but you're right. What you're saying, they're going to be. They've obviously got the new coach at Leipzig, Royce, because he's a top coach.
Yes.
It'll be difficult, but I think it's a straight shoot between us and Leipzig for second place. And get the two massive games at Parkhead. And I think we'll take the 6 points for the two games. I'm confident, but I second would be great. But we will be in Europe after Christmas.
100%. Yeah, I think so too. I think
fingers crossed for those listening.
I think we'll be. I think we will take so much confidence from the opening two games, especially against Shakhtar. I think that, you know, they want to get them back at Celtic Park now. You know, albeit it's game five, but. They will feel confident getting into it, and definitely the games against Leipzig, I'm saying obviously we need to kind of be a bit more cautious. I think after the Madrid game, everyone was very much like, we've got a really good chance of finishing second here. I still think we do, I really do. I think over there will be a difficult game, but we are good enough to compete here. We are good enough to go and win, and you know, a European win away is just, you know, They're hard to come by. And I just think that even after Wednesday, we were disappointed there. This will be a different game over there. I think it'll be a difficult test, but I'm confident. I'm confident that we can.
No, and it's been a build up. We've been over the last year. We went to Betis, went to Leverkusen. We gave them a good run for the money, and now we're a year in. Now we're more organised. We've got higher quality players. There's nothing stopping us. I mean, the mindset change for the fans. Mm-hmm. I'm getting back to what I said about the getting a one each at Shakhtar. You're all disappointed when you look at the game overall. But we've kind of kicked on, and we've found our level. And Champions League is our level. We've got the personnel, and a lot of these guys are experiencing it for the first time. Yeah. But these two games at Parkhead are going to be like cup finals.
Yeah.
The atmosphere will be brilliant. You obviously under the disco lights, Smith. If we get 6 points for those two games, and we get any result at Leipzig, we'll definitely finish second.
Some of the boys were talking the other night, and we were saying obviously how good it would be to finish second and go into the last 16. But some of them were actually saying I'd rather finish third. I want to finish second. You know,
Do you know what? Like, looking at the Europa League and we finish third, there's still quality in there.
Oh, of course,
so we're not going to go there and go on a run. Like obviously that's, everybody's booking tickets for the final if we get to the Europa League. But the standard is no much that there's Champions League teams in the Europa League. Yes. So I would for me it's the last 16 all day every day.
What about yourself?
Aye, last 16. You're in that competition. Just stay in it for as long as you can.
You want to play at the highest level.
Of course you do.
Every opportunity you do, because that's where you're going to learn.
Well, the school of thought would be if you can perform the way you did against Real Madrid, if you can maintain that level of performance over 90 minutes, you've got a chance of beating a lot of teams, maybe not the top three or four, you know, like say Man City, PSG and Real Madrid are the three that stand out to me.
Listen,
I was very, very impressed with Napoli as well, by the way.
Impressed
with Napoli, and they beat AC Milan last Sunday night.
I watched it.
A cracking team.
They're looking good.
They're really good. I watched them against Liverpool. They were excellent against Liverpool. And then obviously they're against the other mob that last week there. But you're right, Miff, they're absolutely flying. Aye. Absolutely flying. They've got a really good chance of winning it. When it's there, yeah.
And it was the we lasted all right. Respect trophy was up last week.
Oh, no.
Napoli never broke sweat, and then they just turned it on when they needed to. Again, just a very, very strong performance. But then I suppose they could say the same about us against Madrid, but we should have scored against Madrid.
Anyway.
Scored a few, aye. So no, I just think definitely last 16, that's where you want to be.
A two-legged affair, knockout competition. Do you know what I mean? Get a good result away for him and bring him back to Parkhead. They're not to Seville, but... So it was perfect, you know what I mean? But no away goal rule as well.
Exactly.
So it's last 16, two legged affair. I'm winning it.
Do you remember the excitement built up against when we were going to play Juventus? Come on.
It was brilliant.
We're 1-0 down after 3 minutes. Oh my God.
Selling went through a spell for years. Remember, we used to concede the first 10 minutes of the European game for about 10 years. Yep. You were just waiting and coming all the time.
Aye. Going back to the Shakhtar game, guys, just one of the things I was thinking about on this as well is obviously the likes of Maeda, Jackie Marcus will have been replaying those missed chances since Wednesday. Do you think they'll have better luck next time? Do you think that they work on that and they move on? Or is that...
It was discussed amongst my friends as well, just about SPL level, you take the chances at Champions League level. I don't really think that comes into a striker's mind, as he's striking the ball towards goal. I mean... The technique Jackie Marcus used is perfect. It's just went very, very slightly the wrong side of the post. You know, you can't really argue with it. It's just one of those things. I think just we've suffered a bit of bad luck the past couple of games.
Mm-hmm.
It's fair to say that happens in football. Sometimes you carry luck, sometimes you don't. But I think as long as we keep up the intensity in our play, that's the key thing. When we play in a even remotely passive manner, it disrupts everything that's good about us and the type of player that we have in the squad, that they're built on that intensity. They're moulded to play in that shape and in that manner. So when we don't play like that, we don't really have a plan B as such. But if you do what you're being asked to do well, you don't need a plan B.
Yeah.
It's really just a case of us doing the things that we do just that wee bit better.
A massive factor as well, I think, with obviously these games is that you look at some of the younger players, the Abadas, the Jotas, Carter Vickers and you know, Greg Taylor, Matt O'Reilly, the experience they're getting here, experiencing their first tournaments as well, and just thinking, you know what, we can go toe-to-toe with these teams here. That's only going to be good for us. You know, we've had so many seasons where you look at some of the players that are playing year in, year out in the Champions League, and they know about these we might go down 1-0. I think just getting these players in here and making them believe you can compete is brilliant.
Do you know what? Rewind 12 months ago. We never had a team fit enough for the SPL.
Aye.
Now we're sitting here with a squad that's Champions League ready.
Aye.
Unbelievable.
And you mentioned the man's name there. The biggest miss yesterday for me is Carter Vickers.
Yeah, big time.
Yeah, huge. I seen an incredible post going about Twitter today for one of the rival websites basically saying, without Carter Vickers, they're not that very good. And you're like, well, obviously it's one of our best.
Yes, our best.
Well done, you.
But that was the one. I mean, we were having a debate on the show a lot about the Jota Vickers. Who would you sign? And I always stuck to Vickers. I think he's been brilliant since he came in. You can see that he's the one. He's for me. He's the one that always was the start Yeah. Right, so it's always going to be, it's either going to be Starfelt or Jens or Welsh. He's always the one to be starting.
Well, we kind of touched on that yesterday in the final whistle show. We were talking about, you know, we think Jens is actually a decent player, but he needs to be alongside
Carter-Vickers. 100%.
And Starfelt, I'd say, needs to be alongside Carter-Vickers. Yeah.
Well. Is there an updated bulletin on Carter-Vickers? Is he going?
Nothing that I've heard.
He can't be going away with America then.
I hope not. I hope it's just rehab and just get back in for us, you know.
Absolutely.
I don't care about international football, sorry guys, but
I would donate my hamstrings, but mine's are absolutely worthless.
Talking about international football, Miff, have you got any games this?
Brilliant. I'll let Miff explain what Scotland and Ukraine game is going to.
Miff's doing Miff things.
Yes. Going to Scotland Ukraine game on Wednesday night. However, me and a few of the in-laws and that are going mob-handed with the kids and all that, and that's because we originally bought tickets thinking we were going to the World Cup qualifier. Excuse me, turned out we'd actually bought tickets for the Nations League game. I had booked the minibus, didn't pick us up for the pub. I'd email the boy back and say, "Aye, mate, now that bus I've booked for Wednesday night, just cancel it. I'll get back in touch." Get back in touch in September. We're going. More pandy Wednesday night, but it wasn't the game that we actually thought we were going to, but we're still going to Scotland Ukraine, so
yeah. Good. It'll be a good game.
And you know what, Taylor's got a chance of starting because Robert Robertson's injured, so there's talk of Taylor potentially getting a start.
Might play Taylor and Tierney because he likes playing Tierney in it.
Yeah,
and in the back three, didn't he play in the centre half? I'd expect, well, I don't know, that's somebody put on the day. You've got a chance of Hanley McKenna being centre half.
Still don't get that.
I don't get it either.
Lumps of wood.
McKenna and Worrell are the centre half. So
Forrest, I know.
With their 40 other players that they've signed.
Tune into the Premiership Exchange.
I know.
We're on international football. We'll now be covering the Championship in England.
Well, I'm a Bristol City follower. Fan. I can't call myself a fan when I'm 500 miles away, but my brother's been doing Bristol 30 years, so I always keep a keen eye for City. I've been down to City a few times. That's who Jackanowski signed for when he left Celtic.
Is that?
Yes.
I work in Bristol, so I might go to a game then.
I go to Ashton Gate. Don't go to see Rovers.
Up the gas.
On that one, guys.
Championship Exchange coming next week.
No, just obviously finishing up and what we're looking at with the Champions League. So basically, if Real Madrid go on to win the remaining games, basically as expected, Celtic find themselves in a pretty strong position. Should we go on to win our home games against Leipzig on the 11th of October and Shakhtar on the 25th of October. We win them, we're sitting in 7 points. And, you know, if we're kind of hoping we have a better head-to-head than Shakhtar, then we're definitely looking at third place. It just makes this game in a fortnight's time against Leipzig, in Leipzig. I was going to say Berlin because everyone's flying there. I don't know why I've done that. But it's going to just make it, you know, quite a big one. I hope it's not the type of game where they try and get a feel of each other and just, you know, suss each other out for the game coming to Celtic Park. But I generally just love us to see us go for it and just, you know, what will be type of thing.
I think, you know, listen, everything's still off for the weekend. You're disappointed after a result like that, but that can happen. I don't think it derails the way the team plays. I don't think it derails the manager's thinking, which is probably the key thing. Just to refer back to the weekend, the thing that disappointed me the most about the weekend was I didn't think we were capable of complacency, and the weekend's performance smacked to me of complacency right through the squad and management. That's the biggest disappointment of the whole thing for me. However, when lessons are learned, that timing's everything in life, and for the lesson to be learned now, whilst we had a 5-point cushion and have many crucial games to come in the next few weeks, probably the time was now for that to happen. So, you know, let's kind of get it dealt with and move on and make sure that the issues that arose have been addressed. How that reflects in the Champions League campaign, I don't think is much bearing. I think we're only got to play the same way. And I think the way that teams are set up in Europe, they're not going to think, oh, Celtic's coming to town, we're going to sit in and tell the ball boys not to chuck the ball back or you know, carry the ball away. There's not got to be those sort of spoiling tactics involved. You're not got to have two big lumps standing in the 6-yarder for long throws. Generally, it'll be patterns of play that allow us to express ourselves, but obviously mean that we have to retain our shape in defence as well. So, yeah, for me, I think it's business as usual, really. We just go out, we play the way that we play, and hopefully yield some results. One thing's for sure, if Leipzig throw in a performance like they did against Shakhtar at home, we'll also win heavily over there. So it's all really down to, we'll go about our business the way we always do. It's whatever Leipzig turn up.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's just this, great international break, we had a defeat, because you're sitting for 2 weeks going, God, but I think we'll regroup. I'm not scared at all. I think Andrew will get the guys back in, be in his mind for 2 weeks, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And we'll kick on again. We'll kick on.
Absolutely. And that's, again, something we mentioned last night, Sinky. It's, you know, it's hard for us fans, 2 weeks sitting stewing.
Exactly.
But 2 weeks for Ange to say, right, I know what's went wrong, let's get this right. On that one, obviously, we're kind of looking at the players that we'll probably benefit from it the most. We're looking at Haksabanovic. We're looking at Avogard. Mm-hmm. We might see, obviously, a chance for Carter Vickers and Starfield to get back up to fitness as well. And it's just going to be more time for these guys in the training field and buying into what he's doing, you know. I don't think it's going to take as long for these players to pick up the style, the standard, as what it would have last season when players were coming in at the end of... end of August, and then we had four players coming in January. So I definitely think this is a good 2 weeks for us.
Mm-hmm.
An incredible start to the season, as we were talking about last night as well. You know, 6 wins from 7 in the league, and obviously our wins in the League Cup as well. I'm not worried about yesterday at all. I think this is just a, like you say, Miff, I think it's happened at the right time, and, you know, we're just going to go into a nice position for a busy month. Obviously, we're kind of talking about October there. It's looking like it could be 9 or 10 fixtures throughout October, especially if they decide to organise the game against, yep, Livingston, if they tried to put that in through it as well, which, knowing the SFA, SPFL, you wouldn't be surprised. The programme obviously ramps up ahead of November's World Cup. The month starts with Motherwell at Celtic Park on Saturday the 1st of October, and it ends with Livingston away on Sunday the 30th of October. So we'll be competing in 3 competitions during this time. Obviously, the league, the Champions League, and the League Cup. Question for you here. So the full squad will be needed during this vital time. So it's vital that all are up to speed and ready to contribute. Do you think we'll see the rotation we've seen this weekend? Or do you think you'll try and keep it a bit more?
No, I think the rotation will continue, because it has to continue. I think that's an absolute given. We have the size of squad that we have, so that the other players can get utilised. You know, like Sir Ralston, you would have argued that Ralston hadn't done anything wrong in the games that he'd played this season, so therefore he merited a start. You could argue the same about Turnbull. Turnbull had been pretty effective in any games that he'd played, coming off the bench. So I don't see any reason why that won't happen. I think it's just about getting the balance right, and also the amount of changes correct. You know, 3 instead of 6, for example, might be an ideal number. But again, the call, you've still got complete trust in the manager. He's contributed to a mistake. That's fine. That's life. We go on with it. But the size of squad that we've got, we can't just rely on the same first 11. That's the harsh reality of it. The others, hopefully, have learned a massive lesson here, in that when you get brought in, you're not going to be able to coast through it. The games are intense, the style of play is intense, and you need to go up to speed as quickly as possible.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think the team's big enough and strong enough just to kind of bounce back from this. What about yourself, Sinky?
Same as Myth. It's just kind of, it's selecting the right personnel, and that the midfield just wasn't dynamic enough yesterday. You'd want to have Tatty or O'Reilly starting with at least 2, obviously McGregor or Turnbull or Moy, can't he? They need to be on the park, because they're a driving force, they're creative, and we just lacked that. So they've always squad rotation, but it's just picking the right personnel, and we're talking about Giacomakis potentially starting as well yesterday. Stuff like that, I think we will see it, but 6 changes a lot, 9 changes against Ross County. We will need to use the full squad, and hopefully when they come back in the next time, they're more up to speed. Yeah. Obviously, you can use the 2 weeks international break, but we will use the full squad. It's inevitable.
I'd like to see Avogard.
I think you will. Ange said you're going to use international break, and he'll be ready to start after that. But I'm looking forward to seeing him as well.
I think he's going to be big for us. I really do.
What about? Please excuse me for my lack of research on this. Sure. Has Hatate been selected for Japan?
I believe so.
And the good
he normally
thing,
does.
The good thing about Japan, I don't know if you know, they're playing all their games in Europe.
Seen that?
All their build up games. There's not a lot of travelling involved, so that's a big plus as well.
Am I right in saying Maeda and Hitachi are regulars, but Kyogo isn't?
No, I don't think Maeda's a regular.
I think he was only kind of starting. Kyogo and Hitachi are regulars and Maeda's...
I think Maeda was kind of starting to knock the door when he just signed for us.
Right.
Because that's why he was getting kind of called up a few times as well. But he... Just getting on back on Maeda again. I love him. I think he gives so much for us. And, you know, I kind of agree with you with some of the stuff I've read over the weekend. He didn't have a lot of the ball yesterday. No, none of that front three did. And I just think with Maeda, he seems a bit of a confidence player, as most wingers are. And I just think we need to give him a bit of a break. That's my view on it.
Well, I certainly wouldn't want to be giving him any snash, because I think he'd be pretty quick with
me. Aye. Oh, battery.
Absolutely. And then you're not going to be able to run away from him either, right?
No.
No, but you're right. Maeda and Abad are very similar. They get themselves in good positions. They're wingers. They're no the finished article when it comes to striking a ball and stuff like that, and people have been slating Maeda about his technical ability and all that, but he works his backside off, and we're a better side with him in and around the team, and he just offers, he offers so much. Yeah. He does offer so much, and I think you're right, we need to get off his back. We're all, as fans, we're always looking for something to blame. The strip clashes, I love that one.
I like that one.
Strip clashes, that's the reason, that's it.
Listen, I wasn't happy with it.
No, do you know what?
I was just
viewing spectacle. I was not happy. You're right about that. I don't know if you remember. Is it Man United played Southampton at the New Dell, and it was a grey strip. I think they changed it at half time, didn't
they?
Did they still get beat?
They still get beat.
Was it a Ronnie Rosenthal hat trick?
They still get beat.
Premiership exchange. The football knowledge is unreal here.
Tomorrow we'll be covering League One in France, and we'll be looking at Serie A come the end of the week, guys. Thanks for listening. on that one, guys, we will wrap things up today. Sinky, great to have you back in
good
the show
to be
this
back,
week.
Mate. Absolutely.
Any final comments on getting into this international break and what's to come from Celtic in October?
As always, same for an international break. Hopefully, no injuries. Yeah. Get the boys back. 2 weeks to reflect, and then we kick on again. That'll be the plan. And it all kicks off in Motherwell on the 1st of October, as you said. And then we've got Leipzig to look forward to that week as well, yeah, away from home. So that obviously it was a tough one to take against St Mirren. Take it in the chin, move on, and then just get back to winning ways. We've been spoiled. The start of the season we've been really spoiled. The last 12 months we've been really spoiled, especially with the league campaign. Got ourselves in a great position in the league and the Champions League as well, to really kick on and do well. So I'm all right with it. So yep, happy days.
Like you say, we have been spoiled. That was 364 days without a defeat.
There you go.
You know, and amazing, brilliant. What about yourself, Miff? What's your final comments,
mate? Just dust yourself down, buckle up, we go again, we don't stop, all that. We're apart from Paisley Gilmore Street on the way in. Listen, you just need to charge on, simple as that.
Absolutely. Guys, thanks very much for the day. So Celtic now head into an international break with a bit more than they'd like to dwell on that rare league defeat at the hands of St Mirren. Complacency has been highlighted as potentially the biggest danger to Ange Postecoglou's side, but we're confident that we'll see a revitalised Celtic returning after the break as they look to right any wrongs and get back on track domestically and in Europe. A big thanks to Miff and Sinky for joining me in today's show, and as always, thank you guys for tuning in. Remember to sign up to the CelticExchange.supercast.com to activate your free 7-day pass for the Celtic Exchange Plus. This was Tino who typed it out, guys. Thanks, Tino. But in the meantime, from all of us here, we'll see you again very soon. Thanks very much for listening.
At Grainger, we're for the ones who pay attention to every little detail. The ones who fuss, tinker, and sweat the small stuff. Because you know the tiniest thing can make the biggest difference when it comes to keeping business moving. We get it. We're the same way.
offering access to product experts to help you quickly and easily find what you need. So whatever your industry, you know you're always getting professional-grade products. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Sports Social Podcast Network.